Last week, on This Paranormal Life, five friends drove 50 miles north to Chico, California, to watch a local basketball game, and that was the last time any of them were seen alive. The police started investigating the disappearance, but they couldn't find anything. June 4th, a group of motorcyclists were driving up in the woods around 19 miles from where the Montego car was found. They rode past a nearby trailer that was maintained by the Forest Service. The front window had been smashed. The men approached the cabin and slowly pushed the door open. Hey everyone, welcome back to part 2 of the American Dyatlov Pass mystery incident. We're very excited to be back with our conclusion episode to what happened in this case.
That's right. We started off last week with a smorgasbord of different sort of paranormal setups. And believe it or not, we are going to go down the rocky road, the dark wormhole that is this mystery, and end up at a yes or a no, whether this is paranormal or not.
So to catch you up with the story, if you haven't listened to part one, definitely check it out. But this is where we are so far. February 25th. Five friends drove 50 miles north to Chico, California to watch a basketball game. Their names were Bill Sterling, Jack Hewitt, Ted Wehner, Jack Madruga, and Gary Mathias. But, as we know, when they left the game, they never arrived home. Their car was found all the way out in the woods, in the middle of nowhere, completely abandoned, and all the men had disappeared. In hindsight, I didn't need a whole episode to build up to that point. Oh, f***. We actually covered it pretty quickly in that roundup.
We might go back and delete the first one and just lead with this.
If you haven't heard part one, f*** it. You don't need to. Part two is going now.
This is the only time we'll ever say that.
I've already had the whole week people in the paranormal commune putting me on blast for my 15-minute episode.
This is Jeff the Mongoose all over again, people.
The cult has turned on me. I promised you a banging ending, and I'm gonna deliver. This story's gonna get weird.
That's right, because Rory has drunk that thing of petrol last week.
The gasoline.
Didn't work out exactly the way we anticipated.
No, I have robot lungs now.
Is there any of you that... You look like RoboCop. Is there any of you that isn't robot at this point?
Negative. I am almost 100% robot.
Well, hopefully Rory hasn't lost any of his storytelling ability.
It's all here, brother. Don't worry. And I got metal lungs, so I don't need to breathe. We can power through this thing. Our story ended when a group of motorcycle driving men discovered that a cabin that was maintained by the Forest Service had a broken window, and they went in to investigate. So, the men slowly approached the cabin and opened the front door. It was dark, cold, with a chilling breeze blowing through the broken window. The men noticed a figure in the corner of the room, on the bed. The figure was wrapped head to toe in multiple sheets, lying motionless. One of the men slowly unraveled the sheet to reveal a frostbitten hand.
Shush.
Beside the body on the table was a nickel ring that had the name engraved on it, Ted. It was the body of Ted Ware, one of the men who had gone missing Whoa. Four months ago.
Only one of them? Only one of the group?
Only one of the group found frostbitten and kind of wrapped ceremoniously in a blanket, almost as if it was after his death. The motorcyclists immediately call the police and tell them what they found. Officers and a forensic team arrive at the trailer to investigate the scene and finally maybe get some answers to what happened that night 4 months ago. But like every piece of evidence in this case so far, it only raised more questions. The men disappeared 4 months ago. Now that's a long time. So at this point, Ted's body should basically be a skeleton. Mm-hmm. There's no reason it should still look this normal.
Oh, I guess. I didn't really think about that. I kind of imagine maybe the cold would
had like preserve
him.
I'm not too sure. I think by this point, he should pretty much be...
Well, I guess, sorry, the cold is thawed. It's summer at this point. So, yeah.
Months have gone by.
Because, like, if you die on Mount Everest, you're not going anywhere. You're perfectly preserved. But, yeah, actually, I'm talking nonsense. If this is in a forest, by summertime, the body would decompose.
Exactly. But when the forensic team unraveled the sheets, the autopsy showed that Ted had been alive in this cabin for at least 13 weeks.
What?
Yeah.
What?
In fact, he hadn't just died of hypothermia, but also starvation.
Oh my god.
Isn't that crazy?
This is a rapidly changing picture.
And it's only gonna get weirder, my friend.
Over 3 of these 4 months,
yeah,
he was alive. He was alive till 3 weeks prior to being found dead.
They were off finding him alive by, I think they worked it out to be a couple of weeks.
Holy shit, they'd have to feel pretty bad about that.
Yeah.
Like, at what point were they just procrastinating the search effort?
Yeah, exactly. Ted had been in this cabin for so long that he'd grown a large beard and lost nearly half of his body weight. Besides the ring on the table was his wallet, a gold necklace, and a golden watch missing a crystal in the middle, which his family would later claim wasn't his. Either he picked it up on the way, or maybe there was someone else in the cabin, or maybe it was there in the cabin before he got there. But even stranger, his shoes were missing and were nowhere to be found in the cabin.
I mean, he's not gonna willingly throw them away in winter, so we can kind of assume someone's interfered at this point.
Or, yeah, because even I think if you're walking in the snow and it's really thick and you're running and you, like, lose your shoes, you don't go like, oh, there's no time. You go, no, I'm going back for the shoes. It's so cold.
There's no, like, I'll swing by JD Sports get back, after I have a spot of lunch at the cabin.
You're going back for the shoes.
You go, oh yeah, I've been lost from civilization for months. My shoes are my life.
You drop your wallet, fine. Yeah. You don't need money in the wilderness.
No.
You drop emergency radar kit, leave it behind. That's not going to help you in the wilderness. You leave your phone behind? Phones. You
really?
Think a grizzly bear cares? When a bear shows up, you're gonna go boop 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 boop. Oh, hi police. Can you help come save me from this grizzly?
Yeah, that would actually be the perfect thing to do in that instance.
They can do that? They can
you call the police?
Yeah.
Well, the bear can't, but yeah, if you have it, that would have solved this entire problem. If you could just call for help. Or indeed the radar system that you mentioned, that you might be able to navigate your way out of the woods.
That's not
in fact, even if you had lost your shoes, if you had the radar and the phone, you're pretty much golden.
Yeah, no, I think about it. That's actually, I should have gone back for those. Not that this happened to me.
Cut to you at your Duke of Ed camping training. The whole camp wakes up one morning. Where the f*** are all of our shoes and devices? Rory's winging them one by one into the lake. Don't need those where you're going.
You're going with us. So a lot of strange things have happened so far, but the most puzzling part is yet to come. The trailer they investigated, which, as I mentioned, was maintained by the Forest Service, contained matches, firewood, and heavy winter clothing, all untouched.
That doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't, does it? There were a few ration cans on the floor, but an even larger storage unit of rations remained intact, even though it had enough supplies to last all 5 men an entire year.
Bizarre. So these cabins are prepared with almost exactly this scenario in mind.
Yeah.
That someone could come across them at the start of winter and live out the entire winter there alone.
Exactly. Ted essentially starved to death, surrounded by food. Also, a nearby shed held a butane tank with a valve that, if it had been turned, would have started the trailer's heating system.
It was rigged up to be... I thought this was just like one of those...
They stumbled upon a gold mine! Rations for a year, a heating system, a fireplace, winter clothing.
That sounds like a pretty nice holiday, all things considered. That would cost a pretty penny.
It would. That's probably where Heart Attack Joe was headed with his family before he kicked the bucket. So with only Ted's body found in the cabin.
Sorry, it's such a sad picture. It's like a man sneaking out at night to break into a park ranger's cabin and eat rations. Because you know then that one time that the ranger's like, it's like, oh, we're stuck out overnight. At least let's go to... God damn it, Joe! You've eaten all the tinned beans again.
Yeah, you shouldn't call your countryside getaway a ranger's emergency supply closet that you just smash your way into and eat all the supplies.
Like, Papa, who does this place belong to? Oh, it's ours, Junior. I've got a timeshare on this place. Why did you have to break a padlock to get inside?
I share it between me and the ranger. Anyway, eat your snacks. Whoop, whoop. He's here. Grab the snacks and run. Billy loses his shoes. F*** your shoes, Billy. You don't need those in the wild.
He's taking off his shoes while he's running. They can't trace us this way.
He's saying all this while having a second heart attack. With only Ted's body found in the cabin, police began a search of the perimeter to see if they could find any trace of the other men, and it wasn't long before they did. On the road between the trailer and the abandoned Montego vehicle, police discovered the remains of Bill Sterling and Jack Madruga, both diagnosed with death by hypothermia. The search continued for 2 more days, until officers also found the remains of Jack Hewitt, 2 miles north of the trailer, a completely different direction. This meant that Gary Mathias was the only one still to be found. We're already getting a bit of an idea of how these events could have taken place. Perhaps some of the men fell ill on the way to the trailer. Perhaps, but then it doesn't explain why Jack Hewitt is 2 miles north of the trailer. Everyone's pretty far scattered apart.
I mean, I don't know. Granted, I am a very, very sheltered city slicker.
Yeah.
I know next to nothing about surviving in the wilderness, but it seems like you probably wouldn't split up given the opportunity, unless one person, you know, that switch flicks in their brain and they start swinging a pocket knife at everyone else
for the last
forest berry that you're all fighting over, then you should probably stick together because
that'll happen. When you get, you know, when you're lost in the woods, you can't see anything, and all of a sudden the berry supply starts getting a little low.
I feel like you're starting to draw on personal experience again. This is back to the radar thing.
It's every man for himself. Okay. It honestly is. You have not known the taste of pure ecstasy till you have had a fresh, winter-kissed forest berry.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
So you went from, like, it's all about survival and every man for himself to, it seems you just really like the berries. You didn't even need them.
Sometimes I don't even wait till the supplies are running out.
Oh.
Sometimes I realize, if I just have the knife at the start, I can make people get the berries for me. You can get more berries that way.
How many times have you had to fight over forest berries?
You know how you got hunters and gatherers? I hunt the gatherers. It makes things pretty f***ing efficient, actually.
I don't know where to begin with that.
Well, you wouldn't, because you've never had the taste of pure ecstasy of a winter-kissed forest berry.
Why winter-kissed?
It's fresh. It's cold. There's no fridge out there in the wild. So a winter-kissed forest berry...
It's just a cold berry.
It's a single cold berry, and it tastes like ecstasy. When you've been out in the woods, all right, chewing on bark and drinking piss for 2 weeks... You know how good a winter-kissed forest berry can taste?
I mean, of course. I mean, if you, in the regular world, eat piss and shit all day long, and then you have a Mars bar, it's gonna taste like amazing, I guess. It's gonna taste like a winter-kissed Mars bar,
Is it a regular Mars bar, or is it winter-kissed?
For the sake of argument, winter-kissed.
I was gonna be pretty damn good. Go get me one.
The point being that I wouldn't imagine you would split up. You are stronger, smarter, more capable of helping each other in numbers. So to have them scattered...
Well, more berries for a start.
Right, of course.
In numbers.
Let's try and move past the berries just for a minute.
I feel like you can't. That was a massive pause, sir.
You're still holding the knife. It's very distracting.
I don't even need it to be a berry, really. If you just hand me a winter-kissed bug, a winter-kissed fish, anything from the wild.
What about just ice? Just winter-kissed.
You can get that in the wild?
Of course.
A winter-kissed ice cube would just do me fine.
So to have them spread out by miles, not just feet or meters, that seems remarkable.
So, we found the bodies of 4 of the 5 men. Gary Mathias is still missing. And just when you thought this case couldn't get even more confusing, when the forensic team were searching the cabin, they found a pair of shoes that they believed to be Ted's, but they were Gary's, and Ted's shoes were gone.
Weird.
Really weird. On top of this, the rations that had been opened were opened by a P-38 can opener, which is a really strange military tool that only Mathias would have known how to use, as he was the only one who served in the military.
Oh, weird. I mean, that's a complete other layer to this story. So the one so far remaining potentially alive member of this group is the only one to be trained.
Yeah. And from this evidence that they discovered in the cabin, it seems that at some point, Mathias was also in the cabin with Ted. Some of the possible reasons behind what is in that cabin is obviously Mathias was the only one who was able to open the rations. So he was the only one that was able to get into to those ones before he left.
What kind of sick bastard cabin rations are these that they're only openable by veterans?
By like retired military equipment. Yeah, that's so backwards.
I don't understand that.
You think, to be fair, I don't remember what year this is, but maybe it was pretty far back. Because I feel like nowadays there would be like legit Hot Pockets and a microwave and like some Red Bulls in the freezer.
Yeah.
Like you're so well catered to that there is a freezer in case you get too hot from your very well maintained temperature wise cabin.
It's like we used to put in all sorts of like nutritious varieties of tinned foods. We just figured it's easier to put in 200 million calories of Pop-Tarts.
I mean, that's a cabin I want to get lost in. Throwing some Cheetos in there, some Gatorade.
Winter-kissed Pop-Tarts.
Some winter-kissed Pop-Tarts.
Don't mind if I do.
Now, over the next few weeks, police searched around the trailer and the surrounding woods. But to this day, Gary Mathias has never been found.
Really?
Yeah.
I was not expecting that.
Never been found. They never found his body. They don't know whether he died somewhere out in the woods or whether he's still alive to this day. It's crazy, isn't it?
That's the thing. Like, I guess in winter, you have this window, this period in winter where the bodies would be preserved if they passed away. But then I guess once everything thaws out and there's a bunch of wild animals out there, those remnants could be gone forever.
Yeah, but it's a little strange seeing how quickly they found the remains of every other person in that party. And I mean, within 2 days of finding the body in the cabin, they found all three other members.
Yeah.
We already know that he didn't break into the longer supply of rations. I don't know, unless he went military style and started hunting the wilderness. I don't know, where could he have gone? Did he's either dead or found a way back into civilization, and maybe something happened that night that he doesn't want to be found.
The fact that Ted survived for over 3 months, I mean, if you think that a couple of the other guys only made it 2 miles up the trail, to think what kind of distance you could cover with rations or any amount of food, and 3 months, he could be dozens or even hundreds of miles away if he found some way back to civilization, like you say.
Yeah. Well, to this day, police have never ruled out foul play. Jack's mother told the Washington Post that she believed that, quote unquote, some force had led the group astray, saying, "We know good and well that somebody made them do it. I'm positive Jack never went up there on his own." Ted Ware's sister-in-law said, "They must have seen something at that game, something in the parking lot. Maybe they saw it and didn't even realize that they saw it."
What, like a supernatural force?
Or maybe like some shady deal, some weird thing that they weren't supposed to see, and then the people who noticed them seeing it chased them on the drive home up into the woods, up into the cabin.
A chase would explain some of it, the fact that they kind of seemingly made irrational decisions all along the way, as if something was pressuring them, but by all accounts, there's no external evidence of any pressure.
Yeah, but it's strange because the case doesn't make any sense without it. Yeah. There would be no reason at all to keep on pushing forward. Mm-hmm. Like, there was no reason to drive the car in that direction, no reason to leave the car when it was working perfectly fine, no reason to push off into the wilderness, even when you'd found a cabin full of supplies. It's so strange. So I wanted to include this story on the podcast because, you know, it's a creepy mystery story. It's similar to the Dyatlov Pass incident, a lot of parallels drawn there. So naturally, it would be a great fit. So, no. But the one thing we haven't talked about is the paranormal side to this story.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Why did these men go up here? What forced them? Was something chasing them? Did they see something strange that night that would force them to go up there? I did a little research online and I couldn't find anything.
Whoa. No yeah. one was connecting this for paranormal means?
I don't think so. I mean, I searched a lot of Reddit threads, forums. I went to the dark web, found a bunch of weird shit on there. I think I ordered uranium from a site by accident when I tried to click through to their forums.
That can't be okay.
I don't think so, but it's on its way. The concierge says there's a package for Rory. Just stick in your AirPods and keep walking. You didn't hear anything. Stick in your AirPods. Leave your shoes behind and run into the woods. Look for some winter-kissed forest berries, my friend.
Maybe just mention to the guy, if you get another X-ray or commercial airline flight in your life, you might die.
Yeah.
You're pushing it already, pal.
We should warn him for sure. But there were, in these forums, a lot of interesting theories about what happened that night. So I figured we could talk about a few of them. Mystery Machine 2 said, "What I find strange is that the sheltered areas, like the trailer slash cabin, was not searched in the initial search. Had they checked, they may have found Ted alive. The only reason they were found was because someone noticed a broken window. Not saying there is a conspiracy, but I just find it really odd that those areas weren't checked, even weeks after."
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to ask a ranger, like, what was it inaccessible? Did they decide it was too dangerous?
Yeah.
I mean, how bad could this weather have been that they couldn't physically access these permanent cabins?
Exactly. And I mean, we're not talking about, because we said a storm rolled in, but we, like, a storm doesn't last 4 months.
Nope.
I guess maybe no one was under the assumption that someone could still have been alive up there after all of this, which is quite sad.
Jeez, I guess.
But then also, what's the point in these emergency cabins and trailers to fill them with all these supplies, if not for this very reason?
I mean, do they put them there imagining that someone can shelter overnight, but then eventually make their way back?
I suppose so.
I guess that's it.
Or I guess, like, worst case scenario, if someone's gets trapped in there in an avalanche, they have enough food and supplies to last them until someone can get them out. Super strange. Laney says, "This case is intriguing for the same reason the Dyatlov one is. Albeit, at least with Dyatlov, everything can kind of be explained with reasonable assumptions. First off, no.
No.
Absolutely not. I think we came down with it was a military experiment and aliens were involved and there may have been some sort of night beast."
I think we said yes to all of those, yeah.
Pretty much every paranormal option out there. So, Laney, if you know what happened up there, can you please get in contact with us? She went on to say, "Why were they out there to begin with? It's so far from where they were going and to where they'd been. Why did they stop? Why did they go to the cabin and stay so long? It seems most likely to me that their individual mental states are the cause of everything here, especially the really odd behavior, like not eating any of the food." Now, she brings up a really good point, that is talked about a lot in this story, which is the mental health of these five men. Because I believe a number of them suffered from mental illnesses, even though they were all on medication. And I mean, it was comfortable enough that they could do this sort of thing, go out, drive, hang out together. I don't think that there were any immediate problems. But then I guess maybe in a situation like this, where you're pushed into a very stressful situation, I mean, that brings out the worst in me. I killed a man for a winterberry.
So before you were trying to allude that you never had been in the wilderness, this had never happened to you. Now you just come out and said it.
I'm airing it all out in the open now. And I'm a normal person.
And I'd do it again for a sweet, sweet
for half
winter
a berry.
Kiss.
For half a berry, lukewarm.
Summer kiss.
I'd do it for a summer kiss ladybug. So help me God. So yeah, that's talked about a number of times as a possible reason as to why they wouldn't eat the food. If they were under the impression that breaking into this cabin was trespassing, they would rather die than suffer the consequences of stealing people's property.
Got it. So without knowing exactly what the individual states of each man was, the fact that these men were not neurotypical means that we cannot apply the kind of rational thinking as we sit here in a quiet, calm room. We cannot apply our thinking to where their heads were that night in the middle of a storm.
Exactly. Now, I will say that, like, these theories have been run by the families of those men, and the families have completely denied it, saying,
yeah,
like, they obviously know these men quite well, and they would say this is so uncharacteristic and strange. They would know to live rather than to steal something. Like, they're smart enough to understand the circumstances that they were in. So I don't know. It's an option, but it's still very confusing.
It's so tempting once you have kind of a clause like that to do with the story, to do with where these men's heads were at, that we want to just kind of write it off at that point and say that, well, it was a situation of their own design at that point. But like you say, these families were like, no, this isn't in line with anything they had ever done in their adult lives to date.
Yeah, they see the families every time they're interviewed are much more in favor of the idea that something or someone chased them or pushed them into this situation.
God.
That it was a much more dramatic thing rather than like, we're lost, we need to explore. And then Smike 12, not sure what it is, said, I don't know what happened here, but this shit is haunted. I smell a conspiracy.
I like your line of thinking. I don't know if we can really come out and say that about this early in the investigation, but yeah. I like where your head's at, Smike.
Smike 12, you know, I'm with you, brother. I smell a conspiracy when a conspiracy is around. Unfortunately, I did the hunting. I looked for any case of government activity in the forests around Yuba City and Chico. I went as far to Google the words snow ghost.
Sure.
That's not a thing. That's a band, but it's not a thing. I learned.
They good at least?
I didn't listen. I was under the under pressure. I Googled snow ghost, snow beast, winter cryptid.
Yeah.
A lot of these different things and almost zero hits. It's remarkable how few responses I got back from that.
However, college basketball ghosts were 10 a penny.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think they witnessed some sort of flubber experiment that night. But you know what I always say? You know, if you Google something and you don't find it, it's because the fat cats on the top don't want you to find it.
That's right.
Why don't you go ahead and Google, are MIBs real? Last time I did that, my laptop shut down. Immediately, bam, gone. All my files, all my coursework. Like I had to repeat my second year of university.
I'm pretty sure that thing's a 1997 PowerBook though. It's
yeah, it was running fine before I Googled it.
Okay.
It was running perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. I had all my shit on it. I had all my coursework. I had all my dissertation, which was, you know, it was animated realism and film, which I thought was actually pretty freaking good. And then I think, oh, gee, I'll take a 5-minute break. Tappity tap, tap, tap. Where do the MIBs live? Thing's gone.
It sounds like you had your entire adult life stored everything, on this thing.
Everything.
Yeah.
I don't trust a lot of things in life. I don't trust hard drives. I don't trust backups. I don't trust paper. You know what happens to paper? Blows away. So
think
about that.
Where do you keep information?
I kept it on my computer.
Which is a hard drive. You realize that.
Now I keep it in a book.
That's paper.
Yeah, but it's locked down. I've got it locked down between the hard corners.
Which are also paper. They're tougher paper.
But the thing about a book is it can't blow away and it can't go away. And that's why all of my secrets and all of my shit is right here in the top drawer beside my...
You don't know where it is. You can't find it.
I lost the book. I'm going to be real with you. I lost the book.
I was expecting something massive,
Holy
but you've lost it.
I lost the book. I don't know where it's gone.
What's in it? Like, is there anything sensitive? Anything that could like...
Everything.
Everything?
Diaries from day one to now.
Well, I wasn't really thinking about that. I was thinking like passports, credit card number, bank information.
All of it. All of it. My confession everything. For when I killed that man over a berry.
Well, you just confessed on air, but... Oh, wait. The book's right over there under your pillow, bro.
Oh. Oh.
You did just confess the murder.
Right. But my passwords are safe. And my diary.
I think the police are outside.
No one's going to find out about my crush on Megan. So that's what I really cared about.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time.
For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Kit, when we bottle up our emotions, it can start to affect us negatively. Sometimes it's important that we get stuff off our chest.
Tell me about it. I found a UFO in the forest, and now this thing is attached to my chest.
Jesus, that's an alien. Mm-hmm. All right, I was speaking metaphorically about dealing with emotions and talking about our feelings by using services like BetterHelp.
I don't need to talk about my feelings. This thing can read my mind.
Therapy can be a great way to set boundaries and become the best version of yourself. With BetterHelp, you can get matched with a licensed therapist that suits your needs. It's online, convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
You're saying they can get things off my chest, like Zonktar here?
Don't give it a name.
Maybe me and Zonktar can sign up for BetterHelp together.
Give it a shot, and whatever it is, get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ParanormalLife today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ParanormalLife.
So we got a lot of different theories about what happened, ranging from conspiracy theory, people suffering from mental health, people being chased into the wilderness, possibly just five men who got lost, and a bunch of mad shit happened to them. Kit, I mean, can you piece this thing together in any way possible?
This is definitely a nebulous story, and that's obviously why it's drawn so many comparisons with the Dyatlov Pass incident, which, if people don't remember, it just... basically, it was like one of these movies where you get the final scene at the very start, and then you spend the rest of the goddamn movie working backwards, trying to pick it apart. But except with Dyatlov, you just never get any closer to the solution. That's a little bit like what happened here. You're left with four bodies strewn across the ice in a park 70 miles from where they were supposed to be, and one missing forever, by all accounts, and almost zero explanation, almost... the opposite of an explanation for how they got there. There's really no rational way that could have occurred.
Well, people have examined the maps, and, you know, people have said there's a 0% chance that they got to this place by accident.
Yeah.
It's so far out of the way, it would be almost impossible to reach this point by accident. They drove so far into the wilderness. There was no reason to do this at all. Like, I cannot stress that enough.
And I guess that's what one of the things I can't help but think is that it almost has some similarities to the lead mask case we covered a little while ago, where these two men went off kind of into the wilderness for seemingly supernatural reasons that weren't immediately clear to those around them, but it sort of defied all logic as to why they did it. And we see a little bit of that here. And I can't help but wonder, do we jump to a paranormal explanation just because it doesn't make logical sense? Or is this just something that really just doesn't make any sense and doesn't have a paranormal explanation either? We talk to these families and they say, these guys wouldn't have done this. They were normal in every other way. Why would they have gone out and done something like this? And I wonder, is a crazy paranormal explanation, is a crazy dramatic explanation kind of a coping mechanism for these folks to try and come to terms with what may be a kind of freak set of circumstances?
Yeah, I think what you said is bang right, where it's like immediately, you know, as paranormal investigators, we look to the paranormal to explain the things that can't be explained in the regular world.
Yeah.
But maybe what we're looking at is just a set of normal circumstances. Well, circumstances based in this world that are very abnormal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot to tie into this story that we mentioned in the first episode, and you haven't even mentioned here, like the man who was having a heart attack mentioned that he saw the car, that they turned off the lights, that he saw a woman holding a baby, mm-hmm. and a second pickup truck arrive around the scene, which obviously wasn't abandoned because it wasn't there the next day. Granted, he was delirious from his heart pain.
True.
But all these things to take into consideration. I think the more I looked into this case and the more I broke down all the facts, it just didn't make any sense. I think the closest theory that I can agree with is for some reason they drove into the woods. You're going to hear a lot of for some reasons. For some reason they left their car, which was working perfectly fine. For some reason they wandered forward to try and find shelter, and they did find it. For some reason, they didn't eat any of the food to the point where they died, and then men left the cabin to try and find help and couldn't because it was just too cold. That is an explanation that doesn't make any sense, but at least is plausible. Like, that could have happened.
Yeah, there's nothing outside the realms of physics. It only defies logic. It doesn't defy science in the way that paranormal stories should.
That's very well worded. And believe me, if I had got one hit when I Googled snow ghost, snow ghost would have been the conclusion. Also, winter cryptid, any of that shit, I would have hammered that nail down. That would have been it. Like, right out of left field, you're like, yeah, obviously these are three men under tremendous stress. I think it was a snow ghost. I think it haunted them to death up in the wilderness.
And what's that based on? One Google result to a fan fiction posted on WeChat in Mandarin Chinese in 2003.
It's like, oh, you don't believe in snow ghosts? Well, here's their number one hit single. It's like, this is a band. Yes, I see that now. This is a band. Okay.
But does that mean that they were not also haunted by a ghost of the snow?
So yeah, it absolutely does. Where would this name have come from?
Please, so high.
Without fact. Look, it's a weird one, guys. It's a strange one. I'm glad we investigated it. It's also quite a heartbreaking story because, I mean, in the end, these five good friends, some of which were suffering with mental illnesses, just died out in the wilderness. And for some reason, no one found them for 4 months. It's pretty sad. It's pretty heartbreaking stuff. I think, hopefully I speak for me and Kit when I say we do not believe this was a paranormal case.
Nope.
No paranormal activity, no snow ghosts, nothing like that. But hey, I think it was a great story. Hopefully I didn't disappoint on the delivery of that sweet, sweet conclusion. Because, you know, I did realize, yes, I padded out the first episode a little bit. Sure.
And you did kind of big this up to be one of the strangest, most sensational cases that we would ever cover.
I think we talked for 5 minutes about the differences between Chica and Chica State, which ultimately were very little. There's almost no difference. But hey, what a case. I'm glad that we investigated it. If you have your own theories as to what the hell just happened to these guys, please let us know by emailing us in at thisparanormallifepodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to get involved with even more fun, awesome, entertaining paranormal memes, then you can head on over to our secret society. It's a secret society. It's on Facebook, sure. But it also exists in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a place you can go to. It's a commune. It's not a cult.
You know, did you see the last John Wick movie?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Do you see any of the John Wick movies?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Awesome. So in John Wick, there's like a hotel.
The credits state John Wick. Slow motion tracking shot into John's house. It's like, so you're just going to tell me the entire trilogy.
I start acting it out. John.
Have you come for me?
You got to come back for one last job, John. I'm retired.
Turns out you haven't seen it either.
The point being that in John Wick, there exists, and probably the real world, let's be honest, a hotel run entirely by assassins. And inside the hotel, they just do assassin business, basically. In the paranormal world, there also exists such a hotel. I'm obviously not going to give you the name of this hotel, not going to give you the location, but paranormal secret society members can go there.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty expensive. It's pretty pricey. Mini bar's a little bit overpriced, but it's pretty lush.
If you want to find out the location of this hotel, all right? If you want to find out the coordinates to the hotel, what you need to do is you need to follow me on Twitter, @RoryHasPowers. You need to DM me and say the sentence, give me the secrets, master. That exact sentence.
Why do they have to call you master?
It's like, you know, when spies are talking to each other and it's like a bit windy for a Tuesday. And it's like, I like my apple juice with a lime. And they're like, Mr. Bond? Yes, Q.
But they never... Why would they have to... Anyway.
So listen, @RoryHasPowers, DM me, I want the secrets, master. then I will DM you back with a password to get onto a secret encrypted website.
Okay, this is so convoluted already.
From that website, you will solve a riddle. And okay. Once you solve that riddle, my friends, you're as good as goose.
As good as goose?
As the old saying goes.
I thought you were going to say goals. What's good as goose?
Clearly never been to the hotel.
Okay.
He's tried 5 times to crack the riddle on my secret.
I refuse to call you master.
You didn't make it past the DMs. You were like, I want your secrets, asshole. All right, you're not getting to the website.
Come on.
You're not getting to the website.
You really didn't call me master.
I got nowhere to stay. My paranormal Airbnb's almost up. Yeah, come along. Come stay at the
I think what we're saying is the paranormal hotel is this Facebook group.
No, it exists. Kit thinks it's a Facebook group. I tell him it's a Facebook group, so it's we won't
What's
tell
that?
Him. It's fine. It's fine. DM me. Tell me your secrets, master. So yeah, join the Facebook group if you want a bunch of paranormal memes. It's awesome there. But another amazing secret society that you can be part of. That's not the commune. That's not the hotel. It's the paranormal
motel Holiday Inn, ladies and gentlemen. This is where the party goes down after hours.
That's right. DM me. Give me the keys, bitch, on Twitter. And I will give you a mystery key in the mail that unlocks a secret P.O. box.
Facebook poke my ass. To receive a digital evite.
It's our Patreon that you can go on to, which is patreon.com/thisparanormallife, hopefully. I don't know. But on that Patreon, for as little as $5 a month, you can get a whole ton of bonus episodes. I mean, we've been doing bonus episodes now for a year, maybe more.
Something like that.
So, I mean, there's a huge backlog there for you to just enjoy of additional content. Even lower than that, if you just do $2 or $3 a month, one of those two numbers, you can also get your name shouted out right here on this beautiful podcast. And hell, it's no reservation at the Paranormal Hotel, but it's pretty great. So thank you very much to
Beth Green.
Beth Green has the best green. That's right, if you want that marijuana, then then Beth is gonna getcha.
You've definitely never smoked weed in your life.
I have toked so hard that it blew my ass out, sir. So I think that's something that happens with drugs. I
You're
smoked.
Absolutely an undercover narc for this. You
that
blew
is not,
your ass out on weed.
I'm not a narc. So Beth, just I'd love some of that sweet, sweet ganj. If you could just supply me with your home address, name. I'd love to hook up and have a toke. So please, I'm not a cop. Thanks, Beth.
Thanks also to Blair Buse.
If it isn't Scary Blairy, the only reason I know this guy is because I saw a news report about him where he used to sneak into old folks' homes and try and just scare people.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I think that he thought that's how inheritances worked. Like, if he was the one to kill them, then
he
got
it was
the money.
A Highlander thing. There can only be one.
Exactly. But, I mean, they told him that right when he was, like, in the closet, full clown makeup, ready to pop.
Mm-hmm.
So, Scary Blairy was his name. He was, you know, shamed all over town. I'm glad to see that, oh my god, he actually got some of that money.
Seems like it.
He's throwing it back to us.
He should be in prison.
Oh, absolutely. Maybe he can't get hold of his estate. This is being siphoned off to podcasts. Hey, Scary Blairy, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks also to Jamie Gregory.
It's Jamie Gregory. He's listening to our stories. We have a podcast, so give us cash. There's a little song just for you, Jamie Gregory.
Ad lib? Was that an improv?
Right off the top of my head, man.
Really? You made that up? It was actually pretty awesome.
I lied. That was a Snow Ghost song. I'm sorry. I completely
So you did listen
it.
To them.
One or two songs. Jamie recommended them to me.
Thanks also to Guy Remington.
This guy is famous for throwing those high school parties. That's right. He gets the booze. He gets the ganja. He gets everything together to have a good time. Guy, I'd love to come to one of your parties, man. I'd love to come with, like, just
You'd
me.
You'd like to go to a high school party?
Just me and the squad. Me and my friends.
You're in your
me
late
the boys.
20s. Why would you want to go?
Hey, just hang out, man.
What age are the boys?
The boys? Well, the boys,
because boys would insinuate pretty young.
You've got, Lieutenant James. Just James, not Lieutenant. That's his code name, because he's an officer
sounds
of party.
Old.
No. We're not cops.
Is that Lieutenant James over there in the Thrasher shirt? He looks about 90.
I can see his handcuffs. He's still wearing his badge.
He's trying to fit in a cool, youthful environment, but he's still smoking a pipe.
I'm not... Oh, I think it's a meerschaum, smoking ganja from a meerschaum pipe. Just if you could invite us to the party, man, that'd be cool. No arrests, just fun. I don't know why I said that. I'm sorry, that was weird. That was jarring. Just fun.
Thank you to Real Santamont. They say Santamont is the Real Deal. A purveyor of all the most highly illegal shit.
Ooh. Very nice, very nice. You know, I love that hashtag illegal activity. Me and James, my buddy James, would love to come hang out and just take a look at some of your rail stuff that you got going on there. That would be awesome. That'd be really cool. So if you just supply me with your home address, phone number, and your medical history as well, would be awesome.
Why would you need someone's medical history to hang out with them?
Send me, like...
I mean, maybe their address, but...
Send me your Snapchat code and your fingerprints, baby. And let's just see where this night takes us. Me and James are in.
Thank you to Sarah Allen.
Sarah, I don't want to scare you, but when it comes to our relationship, I'm all in.
It was so aggressive.
It was super. I think I came off a little strong there, Sarah. I meant to say, you know, thank you so much for supporting the show. I really appreciate what you're doing. It helps us every week to be able to continue this thing. And more or less, I'm all in. Sorry. There's no way to say that without
saying. Why are you saying like Charlie Sheen?
I'm all in. I'm winning and I'm all in. I'm all Alan.
I think we got to move on. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you so much, Sarah.
Thanks also to Alex Jones.
Alex Bones. That's right. I think he's the one and only skeleton that straight up listens to our podcast, which is remarkable. I'm not even sure how because, I mean, ears are just cartilage,
ears,
right? So it's
bone, yeah.
It's literally, I think he just presses it and the vibrations just go into his whole body.
Whoa.
So, I mean, he's scary enough, let alone with a pair of AirPods jammed in his skeleton head. And he's just shaking with laughter and rage.
And rage?
I don't think he can hear anything. I think he's just laughing at the thought.
Is he alive? Are you sure?
Now that I think about it, I think I just put my AirPods on a skeleton.
The man you killed?
Yeah. They were 150 pounds as well, so I probably should have... I'm going to go back and get them after this. But thank you, Alex.
Thanks lastly, but not leastly, to Pricey Luke.
Pricey Luke will get you a sweet bag of kook. Kook, cocaine, is what that was a street name for cocaine. Or diet kook, which is the less harmful version of it.
Math, I think.
So I don't care if it is a little pricey, and I don't care if you're a little dicey. I'd like to buy a bag off you, sir, to have a great night with me and James. Just open up a bag of kook and get blasted. Or whatever we kids say these days.
Lieutenant James is trying to get wizard status this weekend.
With coke bags. So, or kook bag, cuck bags. I don't know what. So if you could just tell us your name, address, TikTok handle, and spit in a jar for us, that would be just
so excessive.
Is like, you know, saliva packed. Some of that weird shit. Actually, a blood pack would be great if you could get a sample or like I shouldn't have said sample. That sounded weird. But like just some of your blood.
Just send me your 23andMe data. Send me your ancestry.com.
That's I want to know if we're related, bro, because we're both so awesome. Yeah, come on. Just send all that stuff over. That'd be great. Me and James. I'm just imagining James is like aviator mustache, like 6 feet.
Wrinkled as all hell.
Me and James will take a look at it and let's party. Let's party, man. And that about wraps it up for this week and our investigation into the American Dyatlov Pass incident. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. I hope you enjoyed this very strange and unsettling conclusion. And we will be back next week with a brand new paranormal tale.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.